From racing.com and Top Sport, this is A Good Three with Dr. Turf, Matt Welsh and Paul Tatnall.
Hello and welcome to another episode of A Good Three. Matt Welsh, Dr. Turf and the award-winning Paul Tatnall.
That was, well, we're all proud. We're a team and we felt that we share the award with you, that we're... I'm not saying we're responsible for the award, but we certainly contributed in some small way.
What about our lobbying last week to get Paul? Of course, he won the Kennedy Award for Best Racing Rider, beat a hot field turfy.
Yes.
I'm told he streeted the field as well. There were big gaps back to second and third.
I took the Quinella. I roved him in the Quinella.
No, but in all seriousness, well done.
Oh, thank you. No, I had a really fun time up in Sydney, actually, out at Randwick. When they're announcing the award, obviously the Kennedys are named after Les Kennedy, a famous crime journalist. They said, Les, very good friends with Peter Volandis. And I'm like, geez, I'm no chance here. But that was a good night. And
was he there?
No, but a lot of the ATC guys were there.
Peter Volandis not there?
I don't believe so. Gay Waterhouse was there. Yeah. Didn't cross paths with her, unfortunately.
Paul had some lunch with some very influential people up in Sydney, though. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, like who?
I don't divulge sources. The whole reason they won the award, Turf, is I got some good sources. So, some nice places up in Sydney. The weather in there is remarkably better.
What are you talking about? It's rained there nonstop for 18 months.
Guys, please, we've got to get to our special guest. It's been...
I thought our special guest, Rissolus.
Well, they did. We've had a few guests, Rissolus.
We had a late scratching, have we?
Well, apparently, Turfy, we've had a late scratching.
Well, I think JD Sadler was he's penciled in. You're telling me he's not here?
I'm not sure, but thankfully he's been replaced by an even better saddler, an up-and-coming saddler, soon to be co-trainer as well, I believe, in Tom. And Tom, I was going to ask John straight off the bat, following on from having Catherine Coleman on the show a couple of weeks ago, first question was going to be, how is the banter with Peter Moody going out there at Pakenham? So given you're out there each and every morning, how is it going?
It's going very well. Obviously, there's a bit of a running joke at Pakenham that it's actually Peter Moody Race Club, and we're just all there to use it. And it was quite funny on Tuesday. Mornington's trials were washed out, I think, and there are a few Mornington trainers brought their horses there, and they're a bit late to the barriers, and a few of them had scratched. And Moods was very funny. He said, these Mornington trainers are ruining my trials. And I said, aren't they our trials? And he said, no, I just let you use them.
I was talking to Mounting Galagotis yesterday, and he was saying he's now at Pakenham as well. And he's saying the camaraderie between the Pakenham trainers, he said, it's absolutely, he's never felt more welcome and enjoyed a new surroundings as much as he has at Pakenham.
Yeah, that's pretty true. It's a very good crew there. Obviously, you know, Moods is arguably the biggest stable there and the biggest name, and closely followed by Philip Stokes. And hopefully we can put ourselves third, ideally. And it's quite interesting because the dynamic at Caulfield was the trainers would all go to the One Tower. There was good banter and good camaraderie between the trainers in the One Tower there, as opposed to Flemington, where there's three different ones. And it's a little bit more frosty, you could say. And whereas at Pakenham, because it's still a developing training centre, there isn't really anywhere that the trainers just dwell for the morning. They're basically, everyone there is very hands-on, and you know, Philip Stokes rides all morning. Moods is there swimming horses and you know, walking horses around, and very, very hands-on. And Sad's very much the same, even though he's got about 800 years on Philip Stokes and Moods. So he's doing a good job. But with that being the case, no one seems to have tickets on themselves. And like Manny's explained, it's a great feel to the place, to be quite honest.
Now, the Sadler name is obviously well known in racing. I work with your brother, Ed. Your sister obviously works across the industry as well. How is it working with your father? Can you tell him to get stuffed if you need to? And as a young saddler, what can you bring to the operation?
To answer your first question, probably not. my life a little bit too much at this point in time. I've got a bit more to look forward to. Of course, there's disagreements, as there are in any business, I assume, but not really. I think I'd rather play it a bit safer on that front. But it's been really good. You know, the most difficult thing about joining up with John was the fact that about 3 months into the move, we left Caulfield and moved to Pakenham. And as any trainer will tell you, it's a very big job. I remember when David Hayes started at Lindsay Park, you know, they were a powerhouse stable and leading, and they took it a good year or couple of years to really get going, and you know, look to where they are now. They're back flying, and that's without David and with Ben and JD. But look, to not rattle on, but it's taken a little bit of time, and there's been plenty of teething issues, but I'm sure once we're really settled in, which we basically are now, it'll be a real training centre for the future.
Hey, Tom, with yourself, you've of course had a crack at riding over the jumps and had an incredible injury, breaking your leg, and actually without even leaving the saddle that day. Do you sort of miss the jumps, and do you think maybe, I don't think your dad's ever trained a jumper. Is it something that's a possibility there?
So I think he had about a handful of jumpers. I think he won the Cup Hurdle the year I was born. I can't think of the horse's name, but that was obviously back when they had jumps races at Flemington. But I absolutely loved my time over jumps. And to be quite honest, I enjoy it more now that I'm not involved, because I'm just a real fan. Every Sunday through the season, that's my day, you know, parked up on the couch if we don't have runners, watching the jumps races. And I'm very good friends with Steve Pateman, and he's obviously had a great season, so that's been enjoyable. And my other good mate, Tom Ryan, he's been out injured, so I've only had to barrack for one person, so that's been good. But we've certainly been looking for a jumper. We had a horse there with the Islands, who's the family that own Bee Hunter, and he looked to be a really good jumper, but he was no good in the wind. But hopefully your mate David Price might be able to share the load from Paddy Payne's and throw a couple of hell. It'd be nice.
Terry, if you'll have a chat to him.
No doubt about that. I do love my jumps racing, and I like, you know, there's good prize money in the fields and outside of the benchmark, the maiden hurdles. Some of the benchmark 120s and the high-graded jumps races, the fields aren't big enough at the moment, and there's a great opportunity there for these battling stayers to, if they can jump properly, there's a great opportunity for them.
There's the 10 grand bonus for the first jumps win as well, which is a big deal, and it goes unnoticed, so that's another reason to get involved as well.
Tom, is the intention at some point that you and your dad John will be in a training partnership down the track?
Yeah, it is. That's at this stage, that's the natural progression. A little bit similar to Catherine and Moods. There's no rush. I think both of us, our job, when I say both of us, myself and Catherine, our jobs won't change at all, whether we're on the training ticket or not. You know, it's always going to be, you know, Peter Moody being the main trainer or John Sadler being the main trainer. Obviously, I ride the majority of our work, so that's the advantage that you have there. But with someone as experienced and as successful as John's been, I'd be very arrogant or ignorant to think that I'm going to overrule him or make a better decision than him. But that my sort of point of difference is that I can aid him make that decision from where I am, because obviously he's not able to ride work or be as hands-on as he once was.
So, Tom, probably the most well-heard advertisement on RSN at the moment is Ribera's, I think John's famous lines, tomorrow's menu is still swimming today. Obviously, that can't be true, Turf, knowing by, but as a saddler, do you get to walk into that joint considering how much your old man advertises it and say, I'm a saddler, free fish.
Where's my lunch?
Where's my lunch?
I don't want to throw Ribera's under the bus, but I don't even think John can do that. to be quite honest. So we were there, a group of us went there about 2 months ago, and Billy Egan actually made the booking, and they said, have you been here before? And he said, no, but my mate's dad does the ad, so that's why we're coming. But we checked the bill. There was no John Sadler discount. That looked right.
Hey, you've got a fascinating horse in on Saturday. You've got a couple of horses in, but Sam's Image. Before he came to you, can you believe that he knocked off Nature Strip twice?
And have you got the photos on the wall to prove it?
No, because I think both times John trained Nature Strip, so we'll keep that quiet. We try not to mention that too much around the stable.
It's a great family, the family, always been involved in racing. You know, I've known your dad a long time and interviewed your dad a second time, but probably the most enjoyable saddler interview I ever did was with your grandmother. And I'm serious here, I think she was about 102 or 103 the day I interviewed her, and that was still well before her death. What do you remember of your nan?
I remember plenty of her, actually, because obviously she was 110 when she died. So I think that was about four years ago now. Yeah, she was an amazing woman, obviously. You know, the stories of what she did in her later years are well publicised, you know. We were talking the other day about, I think it's Ian Collins. Was he involved at what's now Marvel Stadium?
Yes, he was the CEO.
And he was involved with my auntie heavily, who obviously looked after Nana Sadler quite often. And any event that they had at Etihad, or Marvel, I should say, he would send Helen Sadler two tickets to go to all these events. And Nana Sadler being born in the nearly the 1800s is obviously, you know, very old school and old mannered, and it'd be very rude not to go if you were sent something or asked to go as a guest or whatever. And Helen said, on this specific occasion, I don't really think this would be for you, Nana, you know. And she said, no, we better go, you know, he's given us two tickets. And it was AC/DC with 100,000 or 60,000 people, and obviously the media got wind of it and all that sort of thing. But for a 103-year-old, 104-year-old to be rocking it at AC/DC with a Bon Scott jacket on is pretty amazing story in its own, really.
Well, she was still playing the piano when I was interviewing her, so she could have actually played with the band, Tom.
Yeah. Well. We were pretty disappointed in her kicking the bucket at 110, because a few of us had we got a big amount of money onto her getting to 111, and she wouldn't stop smoking, so we were pretty disappointed in her efforts. But
smoking the dust, 110. We'll
try and make up that coin somewhere else down the line.
It's also well documented about Pressman's Choice, the horse that I think put you through school and maybe you the rest of the family, and was responsible for Sadler's career in a way, because I think he had everything on it. You punt?
Definitely not to the extent that John's stories lead to it. And obviously I rode for so long, so I wasn't betting in those days. But we're certainly a betting stable that I imagine that John was back in the day when he explains that... you know, that was the way to make money and things in that sort of way. The prize money's so good. But certainly if there's horses that we've got going to the races that we think are good chances and that you would see to be above the odds, or, you know, something that the market might not necessarily know, it seems a good opportunity to make extra money. But, I think those Pressman's Choice stories are hopefully in the rear vision mirror. I don't think anyone at our place could put up with John under that amount of stress at any given time, to be honest.
You've got an interesting runner in on Saturday, Manhattan Thunder. A good debut winner, beat Miss Sutterly. That form seems to be reasonably strong. And then stepped to the 1400 metres at Caulfield last time out. Drops back in trip at the Valley. What are you expecting?
I really like the horse. He's obviously a half to Sartorial Splendor. He's quite a different style. Obviously, you can get back. He's a lot more scopey than Sartorial Splendor. I think when he's probably at his physical peak, he's a horse that'll certainly get 14 or even maybe a mile. In hindsight, we probably accepted in the wrong race at Caulfield. He was eligible for that big Vobis month on the same day that there was a 1200. And I just think that his racing style would have suited the 1200. He's certainly a horse that's going to improve after a break. I think the race maps well for him back in trip, as you said, and there looks to be good speed. The only thing that worries me is we've galloped him a couple of times on soft ground, and he certainly hasn't appreciated it. So if the track's any worse than a six, he probably won't take his place.
And it's an exciting time of year to be a trainer, a punter, a racing participant, full stop. Is there one that you get out of bed of at 4 o'clock in the morning and get really excited about heading to the stables leading into the spring carnival?
There's a couple, actually, yeah. Most recent batch of now turned two-year-olds have just gone out. They've completed their first, perhaps sort of finishing off with a 600 home, 400 sort of gallop, and they're always very exciting. There's a filly that I've actually got a share in. I've never had a share in a horse in my life, and took a share in when I first joined SADS. A filly there that hasn't, she's only trialed. She'll be having her first trial back this time in a couple of weeks. Really looking forward to her. And there's a filly of a really good owners of ours called Yowie, who was quite impressive first up at Sandown, and then she actually pulled up with a hamstring issue and she was disappointing in the Redoute's Choice. So if she can improve going into a three-year-old season, she's certainly one to get excited about.
Naturally pulled up with a hamstring issue, Ter, for the day I loaded up.
Yes, we all were on Yowie that particular day after that previous win of hers.
All right, Tom, thank you so much for joining us on short notice. Really appreciate it. It's been fantastic to have a chat. Good luck for the Spring Carnival. Good luck with your couple of runners on Saturday. Look forward to you continuing the success.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me. I always enjoy listening to the Good Three podcast, that's for sure.
Good on you, Tommy. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Having a bet on the racing this week? Top this.
With Top Sport's Best of the Best Multis, top odds are guaranteed. Place a Best of the Best Multi during Saturday Metro meetings for the top fluck or dividend from the best three national totes. Plus, there's Best of the Best to win up to $5,000 too.
Top that. Download the app today. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
Don't let the game play you. Stay in control. Gamble responsibly.
An early look.
Well, Terry, if we're off to the Valley on Saturday, and I think the weather's probably going to play a big part. There's rain forecast Thursday, Friday on the day. The track already a soft six, and murmurings are that it was pretty chopped up at the gallops on Tuesday.
Well, that's not surprising, Matty. I walked the track at the before the meeting 3 weeks ago. Ray was in the three. There was a lot of marking where the gallops had been before that meeting. There's been gallops again since then. The rail being at five is interesting because this meeting, the last couple of years, the rail's been back in the true.
And I suspect they wanted it in the true ideally.
I suspect they didn't want to run the meeting full stop. This might be a big call. I'm not sure why we race at Moonee Valley in July. You know, even when the weather's better than this, it's I don't know. I just think it's a better...
Well, one of the things they've said the last couple of years, and Marty Simon does a terrific job there, the track manager, is that the track needs a renovation and it's overdue. They've been very forthright in saying that. So
they should have perhaps looked after it a little bit. I mean, it's a workhorse track. Don't forget, once we get to grand final eve, you're racing every there Friday. Almost every
Friday.
Every week for until the best part of April, isn't it?
Let's talk about how you think the track will play.
Yes, I think... Well, common sense tells you if the rail was out three last time and it's out five here, that the inside two lanes are going to be marked from the previous meeting because there's been no weather that the track can recuperate from.
Yep.
With all the gallops as well, it's also telling, and I knew that from the meeting 3 weeks ago, there was no way horses were going to swoop out five and six wide because the ground was inferior. I got a gut feeling there's going to be three lanes, lanes three, four and five. A mate of mine's already walked the track. He walked the track on Wednesday morning, and that's what he thought.
Yep.
And I figured that's going to be the case as well. It's supposed to rain today, which is Thursday, as we record this, and the weather report for Friday and Saturday is not that much better. So it's going to be an interesting surface.
The one positive, I suppose, on Wednesday night was the winds were strong enough to blow a house down, so that at least would have helped to dry the track out a little bit. But I think the sum total of all that, make sure you tune into racing.com Saturday. I'll try and give a bit of insight. I'll be out there with Hutchie. And
you know, every time I walk the track there, and I often mostly walk it on afternoons, particularly even in summertime, you know, with the old Tabaret building, the outside from about the 600-metre mark to the maybe 700-metre mark to the point of the home turn is in shadow because of, in the afternoon sun, it's protected by the Tabaret. So it really struggles out wide there.
Let's play on. The car line, this is an absolute cracker.
You know what? This is a really good addition of a race after just all these negatives about the track and everything. This is a strong race, and there's a bit of X factor here with this horse over from Adelaide who... you know, I don't sort of concentrate that hard, but yeah, got Adelaide races on in the background on a Saturday. I thought, well, what the hell was that?
Doesn't concentrate that hard.
No, on the interstate races, I'm not a huge fan of interstate racing or a huge follower of interstate racing, particularly Adelaide. But you can't help but notice this bloke.
I'm extremely lucky, of course. Dominant first up in that Lightning Stakes. We've seen I Am Benet come out of that.
Yeah.
Ran fifth. Yes, was in the inferior ground, but she made them look second rate at Caulfield.
Unfortunately,
last
she did
week.
Because I was on the runner-up, and once that split came, she sprinted way too quickly. She's above average, that mare.
So extremely lucky. Probably the one little knock is that he's not the best gate horse. He could end up in a trick spot, and if it's tough to make, there does look good speed on paper, so that'll help him.
It does, you know.
But well, if he could end up in a trick spot.
When you've got Oxley Road drawn awkwardly, the natural leader to me is Yulon Command, having drawn 12. Generation comes across with him. There's a fair bit of pace here on paper. So, you know, Jamie Carr, you know, I mean, surely.
She's so good.
She'll posse four to midfield off the fence, which I'm guessing is the elite position.
His ratings are clearly superior to his rivals for mine, even though he's probably coming through some what seemingly weaker form lines.
No, no doubt.
Generation trialled up super. That wide draw might not be bad by this stage of the day.
As I mentioned,
come across, sit outside the leader and then can get into that three and four lane.
Yeah, as I mentioned on the contenders last night, it's D-Day here for a few horses.
How's it going with post my sacking, by the way?
Oh, it's a breath of fresh air, really. It's rejuvenated. It's alive. Oxley Road, D-Day. If he
runs, absolutely.
If he runs, I think if there's
showmanship,
any
showmanship, I think, is going to go to Sydney.
Generation so D-Day.
Well, first up is where he does his best work.
D-Day preparation, really.
He wasn't Manfred first up last campaign.
I don't know where. Yeah, I know, but he's got to come up again, this particular horse. Bella Nebatina, just bulletproof mare, wonderful mare.
Let's summarise all that.
Yep.
Are you having a bet in the race at this stage?
At the price, I'm not, but I'm, you know, I'm keenish on extremely lucky. You know,
I'd happily wait for the day and see that horses can make a bit of ground, and if they can, I think you push the launch button because I think he's miles better than them.
Yeah, I mean, I know we potted the Monash form relentlessly, but Maliva seems to be over the odds to me, and Bella Nepotina is the horse that's going to deliver. She'll be thereabouts. She'll be the first four, no matter where they finish, surely.
Yeah, all right.
Good race.
It's a cracking race. Race 7's also a fascinating race, the Chandler McLeod. You've got Gold Trip favourite at 420. Of course, he was denied. It was a run in the Cox Plate due to
issues.
Lameness.
Was he one of the favourites, wasn't he, too?
He was.
12 runners, seven of them Europeans, and the other five bred in New Zealand. How are we going?
We need to breed a few more stays. There's no doubt about that.
No, we don't. We just have to accept that we're irrelevant when it comes to stays.
Gold Trip, fascinating, he went to an Albury trial on the way up to Sydney. Not what I'd expected to see in the form guy, but he looks to have come back really well.
Maren Eustace have got the top four runners here. Mankane, having a great preparation, does everything that you want to be on him because he box seats, he handles wet and dry. I love the run of Interpretation first up in Australia. He went back to the inside there in the Aussie Kia colours. He'll be greatly improved. He's a listed race winner in Europe. He ran in a group once at Ledger. And Smoke and Romans, I thought, was the interesting runner, Matthew, because he has... he went back on when he was first up after that poor draw, but there's no...
He won't go back here,
will
he?
There's no pace on paper here, and I'm looking forward to see him put together another really solid preparation like he did last time.
Pre-to-turn, any chance down? I haven't finished the form yet.
Not from that barrier. Surely they've got to go back on him, and I can't imagine him swooping.
Drops down in the weights. Gee,
he
good
does.
First up.
No, he was.
This is obviously a significant rising class.
And a horse I haven't got that much time for is Born a King, but he's honest. He gets through the ground. When I say, you know, I've never backed him, I don't think in my life, Born a King, but it doesn't look a bad race for him here.
You betting?
Am I betting? I might have something on Interpretation.
Okay.
I suspect I'd like to see him have another run and perhaps even be on a bigger track than this, but I think he's got a good prep ahead of him.
Half a chance we'll see the Guineas winner in the Mackenzie. It's a cracking addition. You've got Fujita San, who's... was so dominant at Sandown last time out.
Why is he? What price he is?
260, 1,200 metres first up, maybe the little query, but he's...
No, they won't go forward on him, will they?
Well, they've ridden him pretty quietly in the jump outs leading in. It's hard to gauge because he sat up on speed in his two runs to date, but they were tiny fields, so...
Yeah they were. And his jump outs, he was ridden pretty quietly there in that last jump out that I watched. A little bit of, you know, let's roll the dice. Had a good size produce, went to Sydney and ran well in that size produce, which was Fireburn and She's Extreme.
Yep.
The other,
yeah, it was a terrific run.
So that's pretty strong form. El Padrino ran in good races in Sydney, Crosswinds unbeaten. Charlemagne interests me because Alpha Sun franked the form with his terrific run behind Giga Kick last week.
Yep.
He just couldn't chase that horse over 9.55. I think he'll run 1,200.
Yep.
He handles a slow, A, and B, he's fit. And at double-figure odds, I'm quite happy to be on a safe.
He's going to get a gun run to
like him,
four.
Whereas you're sort of guessing, where, I mean, let's roll the dice from eight. He's going to go back, surely. For Jesus, Sam, we're thinking he's going to go back. Manhattan Times, who, Manhattan
Thunder,
who, you know, we talked about him at Caulfield because he was going from, what was it, at sale, 1,000 or 1,100 to 1,400. Then he raced in the inferior ground on the inside, so I'm happy to give him another chance. So I'm looking at fitter horses at double-figure odds, if I'm going to get involved, which I may or may not, as opposed to these wondering if these horses are going to be primed first up.
Vegeta Sand's trial in Sydney and jump out down here were fascinating. His trial in Sydney got a mile back. His best work was actually, if you watch it right through, was as they came out of the bottom turn, or yeah, came into the bottom turn. He was super past the post. Same again at Flemington. He just comes back into shot late in that jump out, and you see he's made significant ground. I just wonder if everything's being aimed at the guineas, and they're not overly fussed about 1,200 metres first up. So based on that, I think he's the best horse in the race. I think there's, you know, at this stage, I don't have too many doubts about that. But
this time of the year, I'm looking at the fit.
Especially if the rain falls.
Yeah.
Especially if you get into that soft seven, heavy eight range.
Yeah, so the only one I'd be interested in, I think, and backing would be Charlemagne, and maybe.
I think Fast Witness is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Done nothing
wrong. Went around
wrong.
In a very good race at Geelong on debut. That there's been some good form out of that. Sat deep there, and then
a bit awkwardly here.
Gets the blinkers on. I reckon they're going to. Has been a little bit slow in each of its starts, but I don't think that wide draws too bad because if they've got the intent of going forward with the blinkers on, even if the horse is a touch slow again, you get that chance to sort of recover and balance up and then roll forward. Anyway.
Yep.
Fascinating race. You got one you're keen on in race three.
Well, maybe I'm talking through my pocket because I ended up having something on him at Mooney Valley because I thought he got out to silly odds because Chief Altony was so short there, and there was another horse that was right in the betting whose name escapes me.
Was that Rasutsu? No.
No, but no. Who was it? It was about $7 Lackeen, but after they'd gone 400 and a proactive Craig Williams took control of the race, it was a 6-4 chance after they'd gone two furlongs. And he's got a natural leader here in Cyclone Sally. It sort of break the field up a little bit.
It was Tabby Dance, I think. Was it Tabby Dance?
It was. Yes. It was awful. Lackeen's going to get a lovely run here. Gee whiz, he's going to get a nice run here. Beautiful barrier. You know, get a posse up fourth, something like that in the run. And I think even that little drop back to a 1,500 even suits him as well. You know, I think 1,600 is about his limit, so... I like
forgot
him.
You trickily drawn first up.
Yeah, well, what about, first of all, he's drawn one.
Yep.
Where's he going to be in the run, and why would he be primed to win this first up?
Does like the sting out of the ground, but...
He does. He does. Want to see that he can come up as a four-year-old stallion, really.
You know, geez, he ran into a superstar in his trial in Passive Aggressive.
Yeah, he ran into one in the Derby as well.
He certainly did. He certainly did in Hototsu. Anything outside of those races?
No, I had a quick peek at the first and thought... that Godolphin filly, Var Via. I haven't done the form for the race, but she sort of jumped out at me a little bit there.
All right, that's a look at the Valley Saturday. Tune into all the action on racing.com right throughout the afternoon. I am.
Oh, you're back.
Well, I did last week, and
I thought you may
been invited back for another week.
Sort of slightly, sort of shifted a little bit sideways.
Well, the roster mustn't have been deep enough turf, so I got a little reprieve. Unlike on contenders where I just got the absolute Tijuana.
You're still bleeding, aren't you? A little bit.
Let's have a chat to Tristan.
A look from the book presented by Top Sport.
Oh, Tristan, another big weekend of racing. Not long till we're right in the cut and thrust of the spring carnival. Look out your window. Boy, oh boy, it looks magnificent out there on the Gold Coast. Sunshine. Open the blinds, Tristan.
Yeah, no. Well, I haven't had a lot of sun over the last bit. It's been a bit wet up here.
Well, we can tell. Don't worry about that.
I might might get a bit burned. It's been very, very nice weather the last couple of weeks up here on the Gold Coast. And, we're all very happy the Titans had their first win in 12 games as well. So we're flying up here on the Gold Coast. So
are you driving up to Brisbane to see the big clash on Friday night?
There's two massive clashes up there on Friday night. You got the Lions and the D's and the Storm and the Broncos both on Friday. So both of those games have top four implications in both codes. So I cannot wait for Friday night.
Is it true that no one in Queensland goes to the rugby when the Broncos are having a bad year, like last year, for instance?
I actually think, to their credit, because I'm not a big Broncos fan, but they still did get some good crowds when they were hopeless. I took a lot of delight when they were struggling last year, but yeah. I've certainly come back with benefits this year.
I was on the Gold Coast on Saturday night, actually, Tristan, watching
them. You didn't give Tristan a call?
Well, I was not putting up the state by 3:30, 4 o'clock to give him a call. I'm still tired from the weekend. My wife says I still look ordinary and in bed by 8:30. I've never been to a ground where it's as easy to get a beer. Great seats everywhere, and there's about three Gold Coast Sun supporters there. You know who was on the wall of the Gold Coast members area? Former Racing.com CEO Andrew Catterall. His photo was on the wall.
It's hard. It's not an easy ground to get to.
That's a shocker.
And it's one of the issues with that ground that you've got to go by bus or taxi. This taxi's about $100.
This isn't a traffic segment.
All right, let's
move
on.
This is not morning radio.
All right.
My God.
Fancy Matthew Welsh hitting out at people for waffling on too long. Yeah. Jeez, I know.
Anyway, let's focus on the racing, Tristan. We've got to straighten these two clowns up. Has there been any early money for the Valley on Saturday? Obviously, we're faced with a precarious predicament with the weather. We're not quite sure what the track's going to do. But have the punters dived into one or two?
Yeah, well, I know when we spoke, when the Valley raced, I don't know, when it was 4 or 6 weeks ago, I always sort of said it was a little bit quiet in the lead up to the Valley races. But certainly I just feel with the number of the better horses back, we've got a really good meeting in Sydney where there's the first group one of the season as well. So it just feels this week that we've just started to unleash the shackles on the early business. And I think people are starting to shift their attention to racing early, which is really good. It's getting that exciting time of the year. But there's certainly been a few horses that have come for. Probably the one that's been the best backed so far in Melbourne has been race six, number six, Mayfair Spirit. It's been back from 460 into 440, 420, then got into as low as 390, back out to $4 now. But it's been the best backed early in the piece from our end at Moonee Valley.
And looking at Sydney, the first group one of the season, you can debate whether it's too early.
There's no debate.
We'd go down a rabbit hole. It has assembled a good field, the Winx Stakes. But has there been any sort of early market moves on the Winx Stakes?
Yeah, there has been. The early market move is for Animo. So we've had this market up, obviously, for a little while. It was very well specced pre-posted around about the $3.10 mark. And it's opened up at $2.60, a little bit of support early into $2.50 and sort of solid at $2.60 now. But a lot of multis rolling through it, a lot of best of the best money already. So I probably expect it's going to start a little bit shorter. I thought Animo Unga were going to be the ones that are going to be very firm in the market.
I'd have thought Forbidden Love with her record over 1400. She just looks so well suited, surely.
Is the track wet up there?
At the moment, it is a...
I wouldn't trust that inside. Yeah,
it doesn't say, but it was they upgraded the track on Wednesday to a 7.
Just said a soft 6.
Soft 6.
Ears, Turfy.
Ears.
Ears.
St Kilda Pierce.
Hearing aids down, mate, you know.
Oh, don't want to let the battery run down.
All right, let's get into the most popular segment on this show. I reckon we should promote it to the start.
There's a popular segment on this show?
Well, this segment is popular, and I reckon we need to get it up the front because it has been absolutely on fire. I reckon it's missed once in the last 4 months, the lay of the day. Now, gee whiz, you went She's All Class last week at Caulfield, Tristan, one of the best backed runners of the day.
And it was all over after 400.
First horse beaten.
Cast. It was cast. What did you know? How did you know?
Oh, we just did our form. Like, it's a good horse. It just, to me, it felt like it was a good field and just felt like it was under the odds and it turned out to be the case. And that's I think the thing about punting, as you guys know and people listening, it's not about saying these horses can't possibly win. It's just trying to find one that thinks a bit under what the marketplace is.
No doubt. And she's got a few convictions, hasn't she now? She's all class. She's pulled up lame before. She's had issues.
Yeah, she was 7 weeks between runs. I know we normally, we always back that stable in to get it right, and it's not an excuse. But anyway, simply just Tristan just too good, absolutely too good.
Okay, well, hang on.
We're going to give the segment more promotion this week. But who are you taking on? We need a drum roll. Hopefully Roger can insert a drum roll here.
I've actually found this week early, I reckon the prices are pretty accurate. I found it. I couldn't find one at the real short, so I thought it was massive unders. So I've gone to race seven. I just think this race is an absolute lottery, the Chandler McLeod handicap. Yes. And I think Gold Trip as a result, 460 favourite. I just think it's under the odds at that. I think Mankane probably should be the favourite. The one I think at odds that's big overs in this race is Mohican Heights at $9. I just think it should be a lot closer to Gold Trip than what it is. So race seven, number one, Gold Trip. I think it looks an absolute beauty.
There you go. He's gone for the best horse in the race.
Gone after Mar Eustace again.
Again, yep. Attacking the leaders, and I can't really fault that. I think it's a very, very open race. Horses, the guts of the field sort of beginning their campaigns, really.
Now, we need to devote a bit of time to the multi this week. Cool. Oh, boy. We need some sort of...
Who let us down last week?
Some sort of emotional music. I don't know.
There's only one consistent thing, two consistent things about the multi at the moment. It never wins, and the guy who does less form for a living is delivering the most of the results.
Okay. Is it possible to pat yourself on the back?
Well, no one else is going to do it, Turf, to be frank.
In his defence last week.
No, there's no...
It was a train wreck.
It was an absolute...
It was a train wreck.
So we had... Giga Kick.
Yes.
One. We all agree.
After watching that jump and going around the bend, I'm like, I'm going to let the team down here. But that was an amazing win.
Super win. So well done to Paul. You had Uncommon James, Turfy, who, geez, he's a good horse.
I cannot believe the price of Uncommon James. They just kept, and I tell you what, he delivered and he's got better wins in store.
And then I went Waltz On By, the place. She was back heavily back late. She got into what they call the box seat, which
is quite
often the coffin. If anyone
who tells me barrier one is not the box seat.
It's not the box seat. And she's still looking for a run. And I'm going to say that if she gets clean air, not only does she place, she wins.
Possibly, but I was on Ohio 25-1, so I don't care.
Anyway, so that was last week. It was a sad and sorry tale, but the Pirate Multi got up.
Yeah, the Pirate Multi saluted. So we got a bit of cash in the kitty there. It would have been nice to get the big result, but we certainly got something back. So it is getting us a little bit of little bit of kitty funds going.
All right, so let's go to this week. Kick off with you, Turfy.
I don't know where to go at this treacherous Mooney Valley money, but why not just get it over and done with? So I'm going to go for Var Via in the first. I know they've all come for Little Miss Kubi. After that Cliffy Brown's impressive, was it Maui, I think?
Maui.
She just absolutely brained them. But you know what, they wore, Var Via would have brained them in that race as well. So I'm going to go, she's got the form on the board, the level weights, I think.
Win or place?
Oh, you got a heart like a pea, you have.
Well, I'm going Proscenium Arch, race two, the place.
Okay, I'll go the place, Var Via.
Do I need to even bother giving my tip? Because race one, Turf miraculously lands one. We're going to old mate here, race two. Do you want me to do it?
Yes, please.
Well, you're suggesting we're dead by then, eh?
The odds would suggest, well, I was going to go Showmanship, but hearing on this morning, it got scratched running in Sydney.
Well, that saved everybody. You don't know from barrier one over 1,000 metres.
Coming to form advice from Turf, please. I've been convinced to go Estella Rock at the place.
Nah, a lot of pressure.
Mate, I could not care.
I'm shooting him down before
you have to say about anything, let alone.
Hey, come on, spit it out.
Estella Rock at the place for me.
Oh, what are we dealing with, Tristan?
Well, oh, Turf's face.
We've had Yulong Command just come out of that race right as we.
Oh, that's interesting. Well,
that suits Estella Rocker.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. Thanks, Turf. Appreciate the vote of confidence.
Re-celebrating those odds.
Gee, that helps generation.
It does.
$23 the all up.
$3 about the all up, yes.
Is that with Turfy the win or the place?
We've got $4.40 about Turfy the win. I got $1.50 the place, your one. And
oh, we've gone the win for you, Turfy.
Why not?
Maybe chuck another one up with Turfy the place, Var Via, just for those like me with heart like a pea.
Tristan. Cannot lose. Cannot lose.
You're an idiot.
Dear, oh dear. All right, enjoy the sun. Oh, you got something to say, Turfy?
No. Absolutely nothing. I've got nothing to say.
All out
I'm
of tickets.
I'm taking the fifth.
The less the better.
All right, Tristan, it's been great catching up. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
Speak next week, guys.
Having a bet on sport this week? Top this.
Whether you're into cricket and curling or golf and greyhounds, Top Sport will let you on for plenty. And with literally hundreds of markets from your own backyard to the international stage, Top Sport has you well covered. So if you want to get the top odds every time, bet with Top Sport.
Top that. Download the app today. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
Don't let the game play you. Stay in control. Gamble responsibly.
Just before we go, Paul, there was some big news in the racing.com newsroom during the week.
It only came to our attention in the Morfettville race on Saturday. Congratulations, Jess and James, engaged 3-year-old maiden play with James Seferis.
That's nice.
Jess, you know, he's yep. about the only person I reckon that my wife's mates know who's on .com is James Seferis. he's on, who's that? I said, darling, you've asked me that so many times. That's James Seferis. So huge congratulations to Jess Eaton, riding really well again over in South Australia, and James Seferis, happily engaged.
Hey, Turfy, Tommy spoke about his grandmother reaching 110. What'd you do with your letter from the Queen?
That is good, man.
I'm out. I'm off. That is just too insulting. I framed it, by the way.
That was a good three. Presented by Racing.com and Top Sport.